Welcome to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I am your host, Hannah Davis from Cookeville Regional Medical Center, and today I have Kimberly Mayberry, Director of the Diabetes Education Center at Cookeville Regional Medical Center, with me, and we are going to be discussing type 2 diabetes. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you so much, Hannah, for having me.
Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, the Diabetes Center, and what brought you into the world of diabetes.
Okay, well, I've been a nurse for almost 25 years now. Originally, I started out in critical care and obviously taking care of a lot of patients who over the years have developed complications related to diabetes. That was not my initial thought. However, in my last few years in the critical care area, taking care of cardiovascular intensive care patients really led me to see just how many people have complications related to diabetes. And then just so happened, as I finished my master's degree from Tennessee Tech in nursing education, I had known Ms. Pam Hayes over the years, who was our previous diabetes educator, and she was retiring. And because I love education so much, this was an opportunity to educate patients, so be on that side of nursing, as well as to help prevent some of the complications that I was seeing that had developed in my patients over the years in the critical care area. So just kind of naturally led into the things that I love to do just by chance, really.
Yeah. So a little bit about the Diabetes Center. Tell us what this center is, what you do, what's available there.
Okay. So the Diabetes Education Center at Cookeville Regional is one of many nationwide American Diabetes Association recognized education programs. And so because of that, you can be sure that we're basing the things that we do, the interventions we do and the information that we teach on nationally recognized standards based on clinical studies that have been evaluated by the panel or the committee through the American Diabetes Association. And so it's our objective to just help the people in our region to better self-manage diabetes. We not only teach diabetes education for people with type 1 and type 2 diabetes, but for pregnant women with gestational diabetes. And our dietitian also offers dietitian education for weight management as well at the Diabetes Center.
So you're kind of a one-stop shop for the diabetic patient.
Yes.
For sure. Awesome. Well, these numbers are staggering. There's 30 million Americans that have diabetes and another 84 million that have prediabetes.
Yes.
And that's according to the American Diabetes Association. And let's bring this a little bit closer to home and talk about Tennessee. Then I want, if you have any statistics locally, be more than willing to share those. But in Tennessee, 806,000 people, or about 14.6% of the adult population, have diabetes. I mean, that's crazy. And then it's estimated that 161,000 have diabetes but don't know it. That's even scarier,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition, 1,733,000 people in Tennessee, which is about right at 36% of the adult population, have prediabetes with glucose levels higher than normal but not yet high enough to be diagnosed with diabetes.
Right.
And so every year, an estimated 39,000 people in Tennessee are diagnosed with diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is serious, Kim.
Right. Very serious. And just a few things to take note from that is if you are diagnosed with diabetes, because I find that many times people are shocked by that. It's denial is common for several years. In the statistics from the American Diabetes Association, many times it takes anywhere from 5 to 9 years after diagnosis for someone to actually accept and begin to start to make the changes that are needed to avoid the complications from diabetes. And the time to intervene is before you have any signs or symptoms, which makes it very difficult for people to want to do. But as you can see, there are so many people that are in that time period, millions of people in America and then in Tennessee. We're a small percentage below the national average, but still, with the numbers you listed, there are hundreds of thousands of people in Tennessee that need to work on these things. So my recommendation for just the people in the community is just when you see that flat fasting blood sugar on your lab work is elevated, even if it's just a small amount, you want to have that conversation with your doctor about what do I need to do about this? Because all of the complications that come from diabetes can affect the entire body. High blood sugar damages nerves, it damages blood vessels, and it weakens the immune system. So the eyes, the heart, the kidney, the feet, and overall 60% of people with diabetes will die from a cardiovascular cause. So heart attack, stroke is our main risk. So we really want to start with preventative treatment, not wait until we have a complication.
So it is preventable.
Yes, it is. The complications are preventable. Diabetes itself is oftentimes either autoimmune with type 1, which is the least common type, and that occurs mostly in children. But with type 2 diabetes, it occurs mostly in adults around or after the age of 40. And many of the behaviors that we can change, such as healthy eating, getting more exercise, and managing our stress, can help delay the progression of diabetes for many years.
Do you think that people just feel like they're superheroes and like it just won't happen to them, or like, oh, I have diabetes, but I'm just not going to? I mean, why do you think there is this resistance? You said, what, 5 to 9 years or something like that? I mean, for the denial period? I mean, why do you think that is? Right.
I think one of the main reasons is knowing that you have a diagnosis of diabetes. In the back of your mind, you know that there's a lot of work that you need to do. So it's work that no one really wants to do. I think whether we have the diagnosis of diabetes or not, as Americans, we know we need to eat healthier. We need to exercise more. We need to do these things like manage our stress. And so number one, and some people see it as a dooming diagnosis. Like if I get diagnosed with diabetes, something bad is going to happen to me. And I don't want to accept that in my mind. However, if you do accept that soon and do take the preventative measures, you do not have to have a single complication associated with your diagnosis of diabetes.
You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. We are here with nurse and director of the Diabetes Education Center at Cookeville Regional Medical Center, Kimberly Mayberry, and we are discussing type 2 diabetes. So let's really hone in on type 2 diabetes. And because this seems to be the most common, as you said, it is, right?
Absolutely.
It's the most common.
Mm-hmm.
What are symptoms? Well, let's talk about this. What is the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes, and even pre-diabetes? Like, what are the differences between those three?
Okay, yes, absolutely. So type 1 diabetes typically occurs in a person under the age of 30. With most of them, the immune system, for some reason, has attacked the beta cells of the pancreas, which produce the insulin in the body. Insulin's the hormone that hooks up to cells and opens the door and allows sugar to go in. So simply put, they are not producing insulin anymore because of this immune system action, and they need to take insulin for the rest of their life. That's about 5% only of the adult population.
And type 2 can't develop into type 1?
Type 2 does not evolve into type 1. However, people that have type 2 diabetes can end up taking insulin.
Okay.
So the fact that you take insulin does not tell us which type of diabetes you have.
Okay.
So pre-diabetes, when we look at the fasting glucose on lab work or the A1C, pre-diabetes is defined as when your lab work, your fasting glucose is 100 to 125 on your fasting glucose in the lab work, or when your A1C is above 5.7 up to 6.4, but not past that. If it's 6.5 or above, then you have the diagnosis of diabetes. So the A1C is that test that your doctor does that estimates your average glucose for the prior 3 months. So whether someone's checked their blood sugar or not, the physician, the provider, can know what the average blood sugar has been over the long haul, which helps them then to better diagnose and then recommend people for treatment. So type 1 and type 2 diabetes are very different. The treatments are very different. A person with type 2 diabetes generally develops it as an adult, for the most part, 40 or older, so it's age-related, and oftentimes genetics is involved. So if I have a lot of family members that have type 2 diabetes, I'm more likely to get it. If I'm a female who has had a baby that weighs 9 pounds or more, or who had gestational diabetes during pregnancy, I'm more likely to have type 2 diabetes. Weight can be a factor, but is not always a factor, but obesity. And then ethnicity or race can actually be a factor in whether or not I develop type 2. So Pacific Islanders, African Americans, Asian, American Indians are all have higher rates of development of type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is a disease of insulin resistance more so than lack of insulin. So I have insulin in my body. I do not use it very well.
So what are symptoms people should look for in type 2 diabetes? Like what are those symptoms that really like should send the light bulb off? Besides, I guess your blood work being a little elevated there.
Right, right. So a lot of the times, just general fatigue, which I know is not very specific, but having high blood sugar makes you very tired. Your body parts are not getting the sugar that they need. It's all sitting in the bloodstream. So generally, I'm tired, can't think straight sometimes, sometimes the vision changes. So blurry vision is a common symptom that brings people to their doctor, having tingling in the feet. Unfortunately, sometimes the first sign that people have are with a hospitalization. Mm. So they're already in for a wound. They're already in for a heart attack or a stroke. And the doctor asks them, how long have you had diabetes? And they say, I wasn't aware that I had diabetes, but their blood sugars, their A1C is obviously elevated. So a lot of times with type 2 diabetes, it can be thirst. It can be frequent urination, blurry vision, tingling in the feet. Most people, those are the top symptoms that we see.
So early detection, how can someone detect diabetes early on? Why is it important that we catch it early on?
Okay. So the main thing is to make sure that you're having your regular checkups with your primary care provider, doing that lab work and seeing if the fasting blood sugar is elevated. If it is, then your provider goes on to check that A1C. So, and then just prevention in general, eating a healthy diet, which means you're watching out for your calories and your carbs, making sure that you're getting regular exercise at a moderate intensity, at least 150 minutes per week. That's the American Diabetes Association recommendation. Managing our stress, not just entertaining ourselves, but the being mindful, meditation or whatever activity that relaxes a person, like taking walks outside, deep breathing and relaxation exercises. It's different for different people. Woodworking, working on machinery outside or working with animals. I hear all kinds of different things that are relaxing.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I am your host, Hannah Davis, and with me is Kimberly Mayberry, registered nurse and director of the Diabetes Education Center at Cookeville Regional Medical Center, and we are discussing type 2 diabetes. So 1 in 3 American adults are at risk for developing type 2 diabetes, and right now, let's just walk through what living with type 2 diabetes looks like. So we talked about the fact that age does play a role in type 2 diabetes. You're most of the time seeing it over the age of 40.
Right.
Some people have symptoms. Some people end up in the hospital and they don't even know they have diabetes. So let's talk about they've been diagnosed. Now what happens to them?
Okay. So once you have diagnosis, it's very important to prevent as much as you possibly can. So that looks like things like maybe attending diabetes education to get more information or getting on websites like the American Diabetes Association. So gathering information. And then there's really 4 broad categories of things to do to manage type 2 diabetes. And one is take medicines the way they're prescribed. And that not only includes your medicine for your blood sugar, but also cholesterol medicine if it's required, blood pressure medicine if it's required to help focus in on preventing that cardiovascular disease. That is our biggest risk with type 2. So taking medicines, reporting if you have side effects immediately so that you can get those changed. Don't wait 3 to 6 months to see your provider again. Eating healthy. So a lot of people these days are on a lot of diets where they're trying to eat zero carbs. That's not something we recommend. People are always afraid when they come in that we're going to try to ask them to basically starve. And that is not the goal at all. The carbs that you eat per meal are very individualized to the person. But carbs affect the blood sugar within 30 minutes to 2 hours after you eat. So we do try to help you limit those a little bit. But not extreme. And then calories also matter, because when I gain weight, the weight that's in the middle, especially on the inside, makes me more insulin resistant. So it makes that problem of my insulin not working very well worse. If I lose weight by taking in fewer calories than I'm burning, then I'm more sensitive to my body's insulin and my sugar moves better and my A1C comes down. Managing my stress, so doing those activities that we just talked about earlier every day if we can to help us relax, and then getting that 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity exercise. That those are the things. And, of course, monitoring the blood sugar is one thing that people do. It's a tool that we have. In and of itself, it does not lower the blood sugar, but it helps us see where we are. So, for instance, if I take insulin multiple times a day, I'll monitor my blood sugar at least 4 times a day. If I'm on oral medications for diabetes, I might monitor my blood sugar once or twice a day if I'm using that information to help me make decisions. Otherwise, I don't necessarily need to be monitoring my blood sugar, but it can help me evaluate the effect of my food on my blood sugar, help me see how much my blood sugar lowers when I exercise. It's very motivating. So
you talk about educating yourself. And so a part of that is, I feel like diabetes, it is this very scary, like, I need to change all these different things, and it becomes overwhelming to the point you're just like, I can't do everything. I can't do all of this at one time. It seems very overwhelming. So with educating yourself, how important, of course, you guys play a role in that at the Diabetes Center, where you can talk to people about how to monitor and, you know, what you don't have to do and what you do have to do. And so How important is that education for patients?
I think it's critical because people are overwhelmed. You hit the nail on the head. It is overwhelming. And one of the biggest comments that I get once people have come in to see us is, wow, you've really simplified this for me, and I'm not as stressed out as I once was. What we do is create a treatment plan with the person, and we help them to focus on things that they feel that are most important to them. We help them to set goals and break those down into smaller, more manageable steps that can help them see progress and help them know that they're going in the right direction to prevent the complications that can occur.
So diabetes does increase your risk for many serious health problems. We want to talk about those health problems and how serious it can get to educate the public. So can you talk through what happens if diabetes isn't controlled? What happens in the body? What organs are affected?
Okay, yes. So as we said earlier, high blood sugar is damaging to nerves, it's damaging to blood vessels, and it weakens the immune system. So the long nerves down the legs to the feet and down the arms to the fingertips become irritated by this high blood sugar. And people may notice tingling at first and burning, and then eventually the feet and the hands can go numb. That can give us problems such as falls, wounds that develop that people don't feel. So we highly recommend people really take care of their feet when they have diabetes. Really watch out for wounds. Do simple things like don't go barefoot. Don't soak your feet in hot water for long periods of time, or walk on hot or cold surfaces that can damage your skin or cause a wound. Be careful with your toenails and don't dig or cut with sharp instruments. Go see a podiatrist if you need to. Other problems with the eyes, we recommend the annual eye exam. That blood sugar, that high sugar, damages those small blood vessels on the retina in the back of the eye. That can lead to a leakage of fluid and protein into the back of the eye and blood in there. And if you go get your annual eye exam, they can actually recognize that and they can actually treat that. So yeah. There is something that can be done. And again, with the heart, obviously, and the brain, those arteries that are damaged by that sugar more easily collect the plaque onto the sides of the arteries that can break off and travel and lead to those heart attacks and strokes and circulation issues in the neck or down the legs to the feet.
Yeah.
So many, essentially no part of the body is immune to the effects of high blood sugar over time. But that is the key. It's not a dooming diagnosis. It does take time for these things to happen. So if we get in prevention mode early, we don't have to have any of these serious consequences.
You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. We are here with nurse and director of the Diabetes Education Center at Cookeville Regional Medical Center, Kimberly Mayberry. And we are here discussing type 2 diabetes. So what treatment options are available for type 2 diabetic patients?
Wow, that's a big question. And there are so many. Initially, the recommendations say, based on what your A1C is, and we won't get real specific with that, but your doctor knows what those recommendations are, that we can start out generally with the behavioral changes and give that about 3 months. So that's your diet, exercise, stress management activities that we're talking about. Metformin is the first-line oral medication that's recommended for type 2 diabetes if a person can tolerate that. And then we break into all kinds of categories of medications. Some you may have seen the commercials for on TV, GLP-1 agonists like Trulicity, Bydureon, those are once-weekly, or Victoza is a once-daily injection. There are medications that make us eliminate more sugar in the urine, so those are called the SGLT2 inhibitors. There are sulfonylureas, which make our pancreas stimulate our pancreas to put out more insulin, and other categories of drugs that make us more sensitive to using our insulin, and then up to and including the use of insulin for type 2 diabetes. Just to throw a little caveat in here too, there are other things that are on the market now that don't lower the blood sugar necessarily, but help us deliver the medications and know what our blood sugar is in different ways. So even for type 2, wearing the continuous glucose monitors, you might have seen the commercials for Freestyle Libre on TV. Yeah. People don't have to necessarily stick their finger like they used to, so it's less painful. There are a lot of pumps out there that deliver insulin continuously, so the person's not required to stick themselves as often. Also, these pumps and sensors can help people better manage, avoid low blood sugar, and better manage high blood sugar, because when they work in conjunction with the sensors, the delivery of insulin is actually controlled partially by these devices and can help prevent lows and help target the blood sugar to a more preferred level without the complications. So a lot of great technology out there right now, and we can assist people with all of this technology at the diabetes.
It seems overwhelming listening to it, but I mean, that's why it's important to have either a support person or someone like you guys, especially in the Diabetes Center, or both of you being the support person and the diabetic patient coming to you guys and saying, okay, this is what's going on, and you sitting there and saying, hey, this is what you're going to do. And it doesn't seem like there's so much going on,
right,
and that you can do it.
Yes, absolutely.
So can we talk a little bit about diet and exercise? And first, I hate to use the word diet because that scares people, I think. But,
right.
You know, can we kind of squash that whole rumor that it's a diet? It's more about lifestyle change.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we just call it healthy eating.
Yeah.
And again, we don't go to any extremes with any of that. It is very individualized because, as you can imagine, the amount of food, the amount of calories and carbs that are recommended for a certain person are based on whether they're male or female, how tall they are, what is their current weight, and is that the best weight for them, or are they somewhat overweight or underweight, and what kind of calories are they using. So if I'm a person who's very active already, that's going to affect the recommendation by the dietitian for how many calories a person should have. So in general, it's very hard to say a set amount because we need to individualize it to the person.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And do you tell people where they can find you if they're looking for the Diabetes Education Center?
Absolutely. We are located at 406 North Whitney, Suite 4 in the Larco Professional Building, right off of Willow Avenue in Cookeville. We also have a group education classroom that's located at 127 North Oak, and we're there on Tuesdays at that location. And our number is 931-783-7000. 2927 if you want to get a referral.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. From all of us here at News Talk 94.1, we thank you for listening, and we thank you, Kim, for being with us and giving us valuable information on type 2 diabetes and how to live with it. This is Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I am your host, Hannah Davis, and we will see you here next Thursday.